Last week, we started talking about validation, and our series is called Entitled, and we'll get to that, and you'll kind of understand where that's going. But the idea of validation is that who you are, what you think, and what you do, and how you feel is valued, okay? Who you are, what you think, what you do, how you feel is valued. It's important, and even at its core, it's okay that you are okay. That your feelings are valid, that it's okay to be upset, that you're right to be upset, that you're right to be happy, that you're right to be sad, that we want to be validated in all kinds of ways. We look for this. We look for validation from others. We look for validation from experiences. I believe that I am the way I am because I had this incredible experience at camp, or I had this incredibly hard life situation, this crucible experience I went through, and that showed me who I am and what I'm made of, and I'm validated because of that, or even God. We want to be validated by God. We want God to say, you're awesome, and so a lot of times we make lists of checks. Okay, I read my Bible, check. I pray, check. I did this, check. You know, I did all these things, and so then now I'm validated by God. And this is where legalism can come in and lots of other things when we're seeking after a proof of validation from God. And we want to know that we're okay. We want to know that we're okay because we want to calm our fears and our anxieties that we're not okay. Because most of us at some level think that if people knew who we really were, if they knew everything about us, then they probably wouldn't like us. And they might reject us. And there's that fear that we all kind of face on some level. And last week we wrote on your hand as you came in, we wrote your right. Okay? Anybody still got it on there? Anybody have any marking of all? Did you guys go home and wash it right away? Anybody? Okay. Did it just wear off? I think Thursday we looked at our hands and I had like a tiny little black mark, just faintly, still there, but the rest was completely gone. And then of course it's gone today. Thursday was water day, so that finished it off. But we wrote validation on your hand. So, because we all like that. We like to receive that you're right. It's okay. You're fine. You're good. And as you can see, it's gone. It doesn't seem to last. This validation thing is kind of tricky because it goes away. It doesn't seem to stick around long enough and feel strong enough or good enough. And so today, or last week, we learned that attention determines intention. That whatever you're going to spend yourself on what your heart wants, okay? Your heart's going to want something, and you're going to spend yourself to get that thing. All your energy, all of your focus is going to go towards that thing. That your attention, whatever has your attention, also determines your intention. That's what you're pointed to. And so our big question was, what are you spending yourself on, right? Where's all your energy going to? What are you pursuing in life? What is the thing that you are intentional about? Are you spending yourself on things that last? Or are you seeking after the kind of things that kind of fade away after 1 week, right? And this week we want to talk about entitlements a little bit more. Entitlements for me started out when I was very young. I started learning about what entitlement is all about. When I was very young, I got a present from my grandmother. Any of you ever receive a present from a grandparent? Yes? Do any of you have creepy grandparents? You're not going to admit it here, all right? It's already in. Your mom will let you. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, have you ever received a present from somebody and then, like, you remember this moment maybe in your life, maybe you forgot it or you've done it to your own kids, but they say, now give your grandma a hug, right? Because, of course, my parents had Southern accents. They still do. My mom, at least. Give your grandma a hug, you know? She gave you a present, okay? And so I very quickly learned, present equals enduring hug from grandma, who I didn't know because I'm little, you know, I'm just meeting it. Turned out she's pretty awesome as we got to know each other, because presents and hugs was a pretty good way of living. But, you know, at first it's like, I don't really want to give a hug. Jake's like this when Jake first meets someone, you know, they could give him a card or present and he's like, okay, that's cool, but I really don't want to give you a hug or have anything to do with you because you're creepy and you're new. I get a present, she gets a hug. Next, when I was about 7 or 8 years old, I learned a valuable lesson. I was at TJ Maxx with my mom, and that wasn't cool because shopping with mom was like a nightmare. It took forever and ever. But I'm at TJ Maxx with my mom, and we're like standing in the checkout line, and I see this stopwatch, okay? It was like a digital stopwatch. This was in the 80s or something. And I'm like playing with this thing, and it's got like an alarm on it. It's got like start, stop, time. It's got timer. It's just really cool. And I'm like playing with it, and I'm like, man, I really want this. And it was like $14, you know, which is an exorbitant amount. I mean, with inflation, that's like $3 million in seven-year-old dollars, you know? Okay, so I want this stop. Mom, can I have the stopwatch? Will you get this for me? Of course not. You know, it's $14. Put that thing away. You know, you're not getting a stopwatch. And so I go home, and I thought about the stopwatch. I'm like, man, that thing was so cool. My life would be complete if I had this stopwatch. I don't know. I didn't have anything to time. I didn't need a stopwatch for anything in my, I just thought it was really cool. And I started fixating. This was probably my first gadget that I fixated on. as I was developing the nerd inside of me. But I came up with this plan, and I sat down with my parents and I said, here's the plan, here's the deal. I really want this stopwatch. And I know that it's not okay for you to just give it to me. I'm not expecting that, but I would like to work to earn it. So what can I do to earn a stopwatch? I said, well, I don't know, you're 7 years old. It's not really useful. And I said, well, what about this? What if I do dishes for 2 weeks? I'll do the dishes for 2 weeks. And then after the 2 weeks, I get the stopwatch. I'll earn the stopwatch. And of course they were like, yeah, that's awesome. That's like 50 cents an hour or something, you know? Like, so for 2 weeks I do dishes and I'm washing the dishes and everything. And I learned that I should have, you know, went 1 week or something like that. But it was pretty. But I finally got my time in the 2 weeks done, and I got the stopwatch. It was awesome. I learned this valuable lesson. I do something. I do a chore, you give me a prize. I do a chore, you give me a prize. I do something, I earn something. It was my stopwatch. I earned it for myself. Nobody could take it away. It was mine. I was entitled to it because I had worked for it. And I learned that. In my teens, chores started to come more and prizes came less. Chores seem to come more. Hey, we need you to mow the lawn. We need you to fill up the heaters with kerosene because we had kerosene heaters living in Japan. We need you to clean out the van. We need you to do all kinds of stuff. Hey, you're old enough to do your own laundry. We need you to do laundry. And so the chores started to come more and the prizes came even less. And this became a huge issue, of course, because it wasn't fair. It is not fair. It's not how the world works. Because if I'm working, I deserve something in return. This is what my teenage brain said at the time. Entitlement is that feeling of unfairness. It's a feeling of unfairness. When you don't get back as much as you gave, when you feel like you're not getting back out of the deal as much as you have given. Okay, that's what entitlement comes from. It's just when things feel unfair, then I get this thing inside of me and I'm like, I gave this much into it. I am entitled to this much back. Right? Like if you get a large fry at McDonald's and they give you a small fry, what do you do? Hey, what's going on? This is not okay. You know, I ordered a large. Here's my receipt. Here's the small. I'm entitled to the large. I gave you large money. You give me large fry. Okay? And this is an unspoken thing. Okay? Sometimes we speak it, but a lot of times it's unspoken in relationships. In relationships, it's the same thing. In our relationships with our bosses, with each other, I put this much into the relationship, I deserve this much back from the relationship, whether it's with the boss, mom or dad, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, the whole thing. And this is everywhere. We see it in marriage. Certain needs need to be met, okay? I expect my wife to meet certain needs because I'm entitled to it. From my job, I expect compensation. From our work, we expect not only compensation, but we also expect recognition. Hey, why don't I get a little thanks around here, you know? You ever said that before to your boss or at your house or any kind of relationship? We expect from God. We want blessings. Hey, God, I'm doing the whole church thing. I'm in a small group. I'm going to church on Sunday or I'm going on Saturday. I'm volunteering in a ministry. I'm giving my money. You owe me favors, you owe me blessings, and you owe meeting my needs. Hey, it's in the Bible. My God shall supply your need, blah, 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 you know. You owe me, God. And it's this idea of you owe me. Some people say, you owe me help, okay? You're my husband. You should help me. You're my mom, you're my dad. You should help me buy my first car, okay? You should help me with this. You owe me love. You owe me acceptance. You owe me respect. You owe me encouragement. You owe me your attention. You couldn't give me your attention for 3 minutes? Hello? You know? You gotta go play on your phone or watch TV. You couldn't listen to me? Attention, right? I'm entitled to that much. Okay? It's the least you can do. Maybe teens, they say, you owe me freedom. Listen, I'm not a little kid anymore. I have grown, so I deserve some freedom. I deserve privacy, right? I've been trustworthy, so I have earned privacy. For Americans, and this is huge. This is a part of our American culture, this quid pro quo, all right? I do work, you pay me. It's this idea, and for Christians, it's this principle, reaping and sowing. I have sowed into your field, planted seeds in your field to help you out, I should get some fruit back, okay? I should get some fruit from your life. And it makes sense. I'll scratch your back and you'll scratch mine, right? This, we get this, and we say this all the time, and it's this unspoken way that society works. And in a perfect world, we would think that both of us would be happy, right? I scratch my wife's back, she scratches mine. I meet her needs, she meets my needs. I help meet the needs of people in the church. They meet my needs. You meet your mom and dad's needs with helping with certain things, and then they meet your needs, and it goes back and forth. But the problem is it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And we all know the reason, because they're selfish. Everybody else is selfish. Because we give our part, but nobody seems to give back their part. Nobody seems to give back their part. And we all feel like we're giving our part. We all feel like we've done enough. Maybe sometimes we don't. Maybe sometimes we feel like, man, I'm lazy or I'm a bum. But the only reason that I'm this way is because nobody poured into me when I was younger. Nobody invested in me. Nobody grew me. And so, of course, what do you expect? You know, and we go back and forth with this. With our boss, we get no recognition. With our spouse, it's not enough romance, or it's not enough sex. You know, it goes back and forth in marriage. With teens, it's not enough work. And mom and dad says, you don't work enough around here, you know? You don't respect your mother or your father enough around here. Why can't I get a little respect? You've been here 18 years, or it's 21 years, you're living under a roof, you know, kind of thing. Trust, not enough trust. Mom, dad, why won't you trust me more? Why can't I just take the keys and go wherever I want to go? Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it does work out, and we scratch each other's back, and we help each other out, and sometimes it's really good, but it's never quite enough. It's never quite enough validation. It's never quite enough that they give. And it doesn't seem to last, as we saw on your hand. It doesn't seem to last, because you get a thank you card from your boss, and if they gave you a thank you card 10 years ago, and you're still working there, what are you going to say? I haven't got a thank you card in 10 years. Because the last one didn't last, right? If every anniversary, if next anniversary, our 10-year anniversary, my wife and I being married, next June comes around and I don't give her a card, I don't give her anything, and I tell her, look, I gave you a card last year. It was only 12 months ago. Nothing's changed since then. I'm going to get the evil eye like I am now. Okay, it's not going to work. And if she didn't think of me, if she didn't get anything from me, you know, if Christmas comes rolling around or whatever, and Ron doesn't get that little gadget that he's got his eye on now, guess who's going to pout? Well, you didn't give me anything. I got you something last year for Christmas. What's your problem, buddy? You know, it's not enough. It doesn't seem to last. Just like our hands, it didn't last. It doesn't seem to stay there long enough. And it wears off, and we're constantly trying to play catch up. We're constantly trying to play catch up. So, man, I guess I owe my wife some more romance, or, you know, I guess I owe these people some more of my time. And so then but then they owe me, and you're constantly trying to play catch up and robbing Peter to pay Paul, and before you know it, the whole kind of economy of this scratching backs just kind of collapses into nobody's really happy. And this is what we see. And I want to share with you guys two verses tonight. Two verses that I believe will kind of wreck your world in this area and to kind of blow this whole system up for you. And if you're not a Christian and you're with us tonight, we're super glad you're with us. You're the reason that we built this place, and you're the reason that we do what we do so that you can find the hope that we found. And if you are a Christian tonight, I encourage you to listen to these words of Christ and really think about what he's saying, because it's probably gonna mess up some of your entitlement. It's probably gonna mess up some of your feelings that you have towards other people in your life that aren't measuring up. So I want you to hear this. Verse 22 of Matthew chapter 6 says this: "The eye is the lamp of the body. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness?" So the first part, it says the eye of the lamp of the body. The eye is the lamp of the body. So your eye is like this lens through which you fill the rest of your life. Basically, I kind of sum it up like this, and this is my main point. If you don't take anything else away tonight, I want you to remember this. Write this down. Keep it with you throughout the week, because this is something you can hang on and munch on all week long and help you. It comes down to this: where you focus your heart is where you will fill your heart. Where you focus your heart is where you will fill your heart. Jesus is saying, I want you to think of this metaphor, that the eye is this lens. And wherever you point that lens, that light that you're pointing at, that thing you're pointing at, is what's going to fill all of you. So if you point that lens, if that lens is healthy, if it's focused on the right thing, it's going to fill you up with the right thing. It's going to fill you up full of light. But if you focus that thing on darkness, on the wrong thing, it is going to fill all of you with darkness. And your eye is the thing that you point your desire at. And so your desire will be completely filled with darkness. And I believe this is part of our huge problem, that we as a culture, as a society, as Christians, as people, we focus our hearts, our eye, on the wrong things, thinking that those things will fill us up, but they don't. They do. They fill us up, all right, but they fill us up with the wrong thing, and it doesn't satisfy. It doesn't last. It's not enough. So tonight I need a volunteer. Anybody want to volunteer? Anybody? Ian, come on up, buddy. Thanks for volunteering. He wasn't planted or anything. Ian, you got your phone with you?
Yes, I do.
Awesome. We're going to need your phone. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. Over here on my awesome table, I have a microscope. And this is awesome. This is like an antique microscope. I got it from Pastor Paul. He loaned it to me. Check this thing out. Is this awesome or what? So here's what we're going to do. This microscope has a mirror on it. And when I was a little kid, I had one like this. And see this mirror? Can you guys see that mirror? Yeah? It's pretty slick. What you have to do is you have to focus, bounce the light off the mirror into the lens through that little, and you put like a little slide in and put blood or like bugs or something, whatever you want on it. And then when you look through, then you could see. But if you don't have enough light coming through, bouncing through the mirror, you will not be able to see the blood. You will not be able to see like the cells or the salt or whatever you're trying to look at. You're not going to be able to see it. And so, here's what I want you to do, Ian. I want you to help me out. I want you to take your phone and reflect light into my mirror, just with your screen. No flashlight. Yeah, just use the light. We got light in here. Just reflect it. You know how you guys ever hold your phone in the light and like shine at people's eyes? You've never done that, have you? Yeah, we have. And like try to make people wreck while they're driving? Yeah. No, you better not. Okay, so go ahead, Ian. Just shine it in there, okay? Okay, I need you to move to the left. To the left. Ian, I'm not getting enough light. Ian, it's not working. To the left. Ian, scoot back. You're too close. Scoot back some. All right, now try. Okay, hold it still. Oh, I need you to turn it down a little bit. Down? No, that's too far. What are you doing? You're here to help, Ian. You guys see the problem? I told Ian I was going to yell at him ahead of time. You see the problem? You can take your phone back out. Here. If I expect Ian, his whole life, to hold his phone right here and shine in to my little mirror while I try to direct it so that I can see what's going on in my life, so that I can understand who I am, it's never going to quite line up right. Every once in a while, we're getting an alignment, okay? I can see the little light. But as soon as I get into alignment, then Ian moves a little bit, you know, and it's out. So if we live our lives this way, expecting each other to reflect light into each other, it's never going to quite work. It's never going to get into alignment. And every time you try to look in the microscope, it's going to be pretty dim. Thank you, Ian. You're awesome, dude. I appreciate it. You're awesome. You can have a seat. Thank you. I'm going to call you back up next time. I need some help because you're like the perfect helper. But think about that. All of us in our lives, most of us have this mirror that we're trying to move around an angle until we could get. There we go. You shiny people slice. We're trying to move it around and angle it like a microscope so that we could see what's going on. So that we can have insight into our own hearts, insight into our own lives, so that I could see clearly what's going on in the universe around me. And so that I can know, am I okay? So I could look at this thing and check things out and see if I'm okay. And I expect my wife to reflect light into my mirror so that I can look and see that I'm okay. But at the same time, she's expecting me to reflect light into her mirror so that she could see that she's okay. And the problem is, I'm not pointing at the right light source. If I point at Ian's phone, at Ian's mirror, how long is that going to last? Until Ian gets upset, until Ian's like, this is dumb, I'm never helping Ron again. And rightly so, you know? How long until my wife has a bad day? How long until your boss has a bad day? How long until your mom or your dad or your siblings or your friend has a bad day and they don't have it in them to reflect into you? How long until you have a bad day and you don't have it in you to sit and say, oh yes, I want to listen to you. It's okay, you're doing great. How long until you're too tired to do that anymore? If you've been married, we know it doesn't take very long. If you've been a kid with parents or brothers or sisters, you know it doesn't take very long before you're wore out. And then we say, hey, I've been shining my light in your mirror this whole time. When do I get to get shined on? Why don't you reflect on me? The least I could ask for is that you give me a little attention. You give me a little love. You give me a little recognition. Nobody cares about me around here. And we keep trying to reflect into each other's lives. And Jesus says here, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be healthy. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? How great is the darkness? It's just not enough. It's not enough to shine through the filter that you want to see so that you can see what's going on. It's not enough to look inside of your heart and to know, I'm okay. And we do. We look for this, it's called a reflected sense of self. That I look to you and you tell me I'm okay. And you look to me and I tell you you're okay. But it doesn't last. And it doesn't take long before we're just out of sync. And one of us is yelling. And one of us is throwing stuff. Okay? Because Ian should have thrown his phone at me. Like, you guys know that, right? He totally should have threw his phone at me. And if it was a marriage, he probably would have. But where you focus your heart is where you will fill your heart. Where you focus your heart is where you will fill your heart. If you focus on the darkness, you will be full of darkness. You will be full of darkness. If you're focusing on being entitled to someone else filling your heart, if you're expecting someone else or some other thing externally to fill your heart, then you're never going to see clearly. You're never going to quite know if you're making the right decision. You're never going to quite know if you're making a decision of integrity or if you're just being guilted into helping someone. You ever been there? Yeah. Am I supposed to go help my grandma cut the lawn? Even though she said she would pay and we had this deal worked out and she has someone else to cut it and she just wants me to come over and hang out. Like, even though I have a job, even though I have a life, even though she lives in Arkansas. You know, at what level am I supposed to help my wife with this thing even though I got to get up and work in the morning and I worked all day and it could wait? And or do I hurt their feelings and say, wow, look, I can't do that? How do you know when you're right? How do you know when to say yes? How do you know when to say no? How do you know what the decision of integrity is? If you're expecting other people to say, yes, this is right, this is good, it's never going to line up. It's never going to line up. Other people, other circumstances become the filter through which we see ourselves. And Jesus clearly understood this, that if you focus on getting your validation, if you focus on, man, I'm so entitled to that, why don't they help me out? Why don't they give this to me? Why don't, I've done so much. Why doesn't God give this to me? If you're focused on these external things to fill you, then you will always be unsatisfied, because where you focus your heart is where you fill your heart. So this week I want you to ask yourselves a couple questions. Ask yourselves a couple questions. Question number one, where am I focusing my heart? Where am I focusing my heart? And how do you know that? Here's how. Ask yourself this. Where do I feel entitled to something I'm not getting? Because wherever you feel entitled to something you're not getting, that's probably where you're focusing your heart, because that's the end goal. And because you're not getting the end goal, and because you worked to earn it, and you're not getting it in return, wherever that sense of entitlement is, that's probably where your heart is pointing towards. And that's hard to hear. I gotta tell you, that is so hard to hear. This is not gonna be an easy week, because I could hear the pushback already from myself. Like, no, it's not right. Like, I totally just, that's not fair. Like, no, you got it all twisted. I don't know how you did this, but you twisted it all around. It's not true. Where do you feel entitled to something you're not getting? And ask this, is the person that you're wanting something from, is the circumstance, are they filled? Are they a completely whole, healthy person? Are they? Do you want to be just like them? Or are you seeking to be filled by a broken person who's really just going to fill you with their brokenness? I can guarantee my wife doesn't want to be just like me. She doesn't. I guarantee most of the people you're seeking this external light, validation, help, entitlement from, you probably don't want to be just like them. But yet you're reflecting yourself off of them and saying, I can't see what's going on because you're not giving me what I need. I'm emotionally dry here. Is that person what you want your heart to be filled with? Where should you get filled is what we're going to talk about next week. How do you take care of this properly in a healthy way? Next week, we're going to look at where to get filled. And this week, though, I want you to look at where you're trying to get filled right now, because you need to face that. You need to walk through that. You need to deal with that, because entitlement is real. We all carry it. We're all dealing with it. and it points to what our heart's focused on. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you so much for your insightful words. God, we thank you for this process that you're walking us through. This isn't all tied up nice and neat in a pretty bow. But Lord, we pray that we would walk through this process, that we would ask, where do I feel entitled? And where is my heart pointing? Lord, I pray that we would take a long look at that and see if our heart is pointing at something that really has the power and the ability to fill us, and if that's really what we want to be filled by. And if it is, why hasn't it filled us already? Why doesn't it seem to last? Lord, I pray that we would do some heart checks, some journaling, and we would focus on who you are, that you'd speak to our hearts, reveal to each and every person this week what they are entitled to or feel entitled to and what their heart is pointing on, because where we focus our heart is where we fill our heart. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.